But Metzia Daf Mem Gilel. We are starting from the Mishnah right at the top of the Amud here. Hamafkin Moetz Eso Shochani. We're talking about someone who gives money and leaves money with a money changer. So money changer, obviously, is always dealing with coins. That's his whole job. And here, he has a someone who deposits money with him. And the question is, what our Mishnah is dealing with, they didn't specify whether or not the money changer can use them if he needs them. A money changer might often need to use coins, and that's all his business, and he might want to use them. And the question is, could he use them? Someone deposited by him, so there could be different terms. Someone could deposit, and the expectation is he could use and be like a borrower, or it could be like just he's watching for it, and either getting benefit or not getting benefit. But it's not clear. All of this was just like, we just left it here for him. So what's the halacha? So the money changer should assume, if it was tied up in a bundle, he should assume it's also for him to use, that the owner was not allowing him to borrow it, but rather that he's just watching it on behalf of the owner. Therefore, the fikach, since he's not borrowing it, he has no right to use it. Im avdu, if they get lost, he's not chayv to compensate the owner for it, because there was no negligence and he wasn't allowed to use it. So if the child would be allowed to use it, he'd be chayv for accidents that occur. But since we're saying that the assumption is that when it's tied up, the owner is not granting him rights to use them and pay back later, so then he's not a borrower on it, so then it would be he wouldn't be liable if an accident occurred. But mutarin, if the money was loose, just loose money that was left by him, then we see the owner is trying to say, do whatever you want with it, you can use it. Lefikach, therefore, Mavdu, if it does get lost, and he is obligated to compensate, because since he's allowed to use the money, we'll see in the Gemara, he might be like a borrower or a paid shomer, one of the two, and therefore, he would be chayav if something happened, if it got lost. That's all if you give the money to a shulchani. Why? If it's specific to a shulchani. A shulchani, the child is like, it's very normal for him to want to use the coins. It's like, that's the expectation that he's going to want to use the coins. That's what he deals with. He deals with loose coins all day. However, Eitz or Balabaya is someone who deposits money just by a private, guy who has a house. Bein Terum, Bein Mutarin, even if the money is tied up, or if it's loose. So even if it's loose, Leish Tamash Rem, still he cannot use it. There's no assumption that just because it's loose, that he's okay with allowing the Baal Bayis to use it. It's dafka when he gives it to a shulchani where that assumption is there, because a shulchani is more in the norm for him to want to use it. So if you give it to the Baal Bayis, even if it's tied up, the Baal Bayis should not use it. Lefikach, therefore, im avdu, if it got lost, he's not liable to compensate, because even if it's tied up, he has no right to use it. What about a chenmani? What about a storekeeper? We just made a distinction between a money changer and a private person who has a home. What about someone who owns a regular store? So he's kind of in the middle, right? Because he uses cash in business, but it's not like his business is in cash. So chenmani kabal bayis, if you're a mayor, according to our mayor, treated like a regular householder, and therefore what? He's not allowed to use it even if it's loose. Yudalmar chenmani shulchani is the storekeeper treated like a money changer, and if it's loose, he is allowed to use it. So first, the Gemara doesn't understand this idea, the distinction between tied up and loose. If we're talking about a money changer, where we see if it's loose, the assumption is that the owner is allowing him to use it. So just because it's tied up, then it can. What difference does it make? Even if it's tied up, if we see that if it's not tied up, he's allowed to use it, then we don't understand just why he's not allowed to use it just because it's tied up. So the Gemara says, Amar Vasi, Amar Vyud, just to understand the question, like tied up is just a way of holding it well, right? It's just like a way of holding the coins. So Amar Vasi, Amar Vyud, Abitrun, Vachasum, and Shonish, that's not that it was tied, it's sealed. Tied up and sealed, that's the point. So there's like more, that's an indication that the owner does not want the money changer to be using his money. Says the Gemara, a different approach. Rav Mari says, Bekesher Mishuna, we're talking about a case where it was tied with an unusual sort of knot. Unusual sort of knot is like, okay, the owner clearly wants his identity on it. Those who say it like a shayla. What is the halach about a bundle of money tied with an unusual knot? And on that we say, Deku, unresolved, if then he could use it. Okay, mutar nishtamish man. We said if it's loose, the money changer can use it, and therefore if it's lost, he's liable to compensate the owner. So what does it mean if it's lost? Let's just understand, right? He has the right to use it. So the big underlying question, and foreshadowing what the Gemara will say, is does that mean he's a borrower now? So since he has the right to use it, he has a din of a borrower even before he went ahead and went to go use it? Just the theoretical rights to use it make it like a borrower in his chayv, even in accidents? Or is it the pshat that since he has the rights to use it, he has some benefit from it, so then he's treated like a shomer sachar, but he's not a borrower unless he would actually go use it. The big nafkamina would be is that a shomer sachar is chayav for natural losses, but he's not chayav for accidents. A shoel, a borrower, is chayav even for accidents. So that's the big nafkamina. So the Gemara says, he's chayav even if an accident occurs. Says the Gemara, first of all, Avdu Katani, the Mishnah said if it got lost, he's liable. That indicates ordinary loss, not an accidental type of loss. Says the Gemara, because Rabba Dam Rabba Nitzvah Lusim Mizum. Just as Rabba explained in a different Mishnah, when it says that it was stolen, it means an armed bandit, where it means it was an unavoidable sort of loss. Avdu, and when it says loss, Shatavas Osmaniyam, it means like this, the ship sunk at sea, meaning to say that it was an unavoidable sort of loss. So too, we see that the point that we're saying is that sometimes it could say loss, and it doesn't necessarily mean a regular loss. It can mean an unavoidable sort of accidental loss. So too, we hear in the Mishnah, even though it says loss, it might refer to an accidental, unavoidable loss. And it might really be that Rav Huna is right, that he's treated like a borrower immediately. The potential that he could use it gives him the din of a borrower now, and therefore an accident would hold him liable even if he hadn't used the money. That's Rav Huna's opinion. Rav Nachman Amar Nen Sulo, no, if it was an unavoidable accident, the money changer is not liable. So I'm like Rav Nachman. And what's the pshat? Because Lamaisa, he doesn't have the status of a borrower until he would actually use it. But Rav Nachman is still saying he's treated like a paid shomer, so he wouldn't be chayv. An accident would occur, be chayv for ordinary loss. The Gemara doesn't understand how we thread that needle. Amalei Rav Nachman lived off time in Edmund Zulo. According to you, you're not chayv if an onus happens. Clearly, he's not considered a borrower of the money. So Ishoalohavi, he's not a borrower. Shomer zochan amalavi. He shouldn't be the paid shomer either. He's not really getting paid to watch. So just because he has the potential to use it doesn't mean he's getting paid. So the same way you're saying the potential to use it doesn't give him a din of a borrower, must be you're not going after the potential, you're just going after like the current state that he's not getting paid. So he shouldn't be a shomer sacher either. So where do we find this line that he's a shomer sacher because of his right to use it? So I'm a no. In regard to this, I agree to you. Meaning, I can see that the potential right to use it gives you a din of a benefit that you're like a shomer sachar. Since he gets some benefit from the potential, so therefore he's gonna give more benefit back to the owner. If there would be a purchase, right, the potential profit come his way, and he can go buy it with interest and money. The fact that he has that security, that if he needs quick cash, he could always turn to it and use it. It's really like a shomer sachar. See, it's not a din of a borrower. A borrower is only when he actually would go to use it. But the potential that if he would need the cash, he would go to use it, that gives him a status of a shomer sachar. Says the Gemara, it's Rav Nachman Rav Huna, Hifkin Mosi So Shochani. So here we're talking about the treasurer of money of the Beis HaMikdash. So what happens if he takes, right? So there's a thing, you're not allowed to misuse the money of the Beis HaMikdash. If you do, if you make a kinyan on it, if you give it to somebody else, then you've committed mi'ila. So you've misused the money of the Beis HaMikdash. So here we're talking about the treasurer. Obviously, has to be so careful that he doesn't commit mi'ila. He doesn't misuse the money. So he gives money of the Beis HaMikdash over to a money changer. He thought the money was his. He made a mistake. He didn't realize. He was careless. And now he gave the Beis HaMikdash's money to the money changer. So it's a deferred deposit. So it's true. And if the money was tied up in a bundle, the money changer can't use it. So therefore, it's still HaKdash's money. It's not been misused. If the money changer even went to spend the money, Lomal Gizbra, the treasurer is not guilty of Me'ila, because the treasurer, by giving it to the money changer, didn't do anything wrong. Because the expectation when you give tied up coins to a money changer is not for him to use it. If the money was loose, where then Yishamash Ram, the expectation is a money changer can use it. So it's basically like him lending the money to Hektish's money to the money changer. Therefore, if the money changer goes to spend it, Mal Gizbar, the treasurer is guilty of the Me'ila. And the idea here is that it's almost like it's like a shliach. Like everything he's doing is that he's like sent by the... It's like he's being sent by the treasurer. And by you say shliach l'dvar aveir by mi'ila, it's one of those things where, you know, if I empower you to misuse the money of the Beis HaMikdash, actually I am liable for mi'ila. So anyways, what do we see over here? That if the money changer goes to use the money, then we say the treasurer is liable. But now, let's just understand. Are we saying there's mi'ila right away when I gave it to him because he could use it? No, it didn't say that. It said if he goes to spend it, then the treasurer is mo'. What's the pshat? Because when he spends it, he's spending it because I almost like empowered him or told him to. And therefore, it's like he's my agent, I'm chayv for mi'ila. But if you tell me that there's a chiyuv even for onsim, in other words, if you tell me that as soon as I give him the right to use it, it's like he's borrowing the money right now and he'd be chayv for an accident. So right now, it's as if I already lent him the money. So then, ma'ir hotzei afilu hotzei nami. Why does it say only because the money changer goes to spend the money, even without spending the money? The very fact that I gave it to him with the understanding he could use it, that itself is me'ila. Well, if, let's say, literally, I would lend money to somebody else, like a regular term of borrowing and lending. Of course, that would be me'ila right away. So too here, if it's true that he is the din of a borrower right away because of the potential to use it, it should have been me'ila right away. So from the fact that it says it's me'ila when he uses it, meaning because then he's doing mashlichas to misuse it from me, you see that until then there's no me'ila. It's a proof that there's no chiyuv owns him right away. He's not a borrower right away. So I'm like, Rav Huna said, no, hua dinaf gav d'lohotzi. Really, the me'ila is true even though he didn't spend the money. It was just for symmetry. The ratio said, even if the ratio where he doesn't have the right to use it, it said, even if he spent it, the treasurer is not mohel because you can empower him to spend it. So just for symmetry, we spoke about in the sefer also where he spent the money. But the reality is that in the sefer, there would be me'ila even before he spent it, because just by me giving it to him, I really lent him the money, transferred, misused the money of Hektish right then by lending it out to somebody. All right, now we continue with Shlichus Yad. So remember, what Shlichus Yad? When a shomer lays his hand on the object that he's watching, a shomer, except for the shawl, has no rights to use it. As soon as he lays his hand, he takes it with intent that he's going to use it for himself, some of it. He's treated like a ganav, he's treated like a thief, and he's liable for anything that would occur to the deposit. So Ashleich, we call him someone who misuses the deposit, and it gets the shorts. He gets the loss, whether it's decreased or increased. Meaning, the basic shot in Beishami is he's paying the greater amount. If the value of the thing decreased, he paid what it was worth when he was shaleach out of it. If the value increased, then he pays what it was worth when he destroyed it. So in other words, either way, we're going to say that he's going to pay that if its value increased, he'll pay what it was worth when it was destroyed. And if the value decreased, we'll say that he'll pay what it was worth when he was shaleach yad. So just to understand, he's first shaleach yad. He lays his hand. And then eventually it gets destroyed. He does something, right? Something gets destroyed. What value does he pay? The value that it was worth when he laid his hand on it, or the value that it was worth when he destroyed it? That's what Bishamay are going to argue. Bishamay is saying, whatever the greater amount is, BB, the value went down, you pay what it was worth when you initially were shaleach yad, the higher amount. Whereas if the value increased, it was worth more when it got destroyed than when you took it, you pay what the value would be when he destroyed it. Whereas Beisil Omrim Kishasotza, you always pay according to the value that it had when it was removed. Now the Gemara will explain, what does that mean? Which way is that? Does that mean when you were shaleach yad on it, or when you destroyed it? And the third view, you pay whatever it's worth at the time that it was claimed. Meaning, only at whatever it was worth at the time that the judges obligated you to pay when the shomer came to court, whatever the value was then. So now we're going to go through all these opinions. But again, basically the complexity is, you're a shomer, you're watching something. You're shaleach yad. At that point, you're kind of stealing it. And then something happens to it, and then eventually it gets destroyed. And now I'm coming to pay back the owner. What value, according to what value am I paying back? The value of the shlichas yad, the value of what it was at the time that destroyed it, perhaps the value at the time when he sues me in court. Those are the three possibilities, and we'll see in the Gemara the details. So first we start with a Gemara that we learned in Meruba, a very famous Gemara. Amar Rabba, Haiman de Gazel, Chavisa de Chamei Chavrei, someone who steals wine, barrel of wine from his friend. Mikar Shavit Zuzah, originally when he stole it, at the time he stole it, it was worth his zuz. Ashta Shavi Arba, and now when he goes to destroy it, when he destroyed it, it's worth four zuz. So let's just understand. Normally when I steal something, if I could return it intact, okay, I don't pay anything. If it's not intact and I have to pay value, what value do I pay? Normally the halacha is, that if it went down, I still have to pay kishas akzela. So in other words, if I steal something and then the value goes down, I have to pay the greater value that I had at the time that I stole it. That's generally like the idea. Here it actually went up. That's why it's a little more complicated. I stole it; it was worth one. The barrel was worth one zuz, and now at the time that I drink it, it's worth four zuz. So what's the halacha? Tavi or shasa? If the pshat is I broke it. Or by actively destroying the barrel, or I drink the wine, I have to pay four. It's from a mela, but if it just broke by itself, nothing the thief did, the barrel just broke by itself, then I only have to pay a zuz. So it was worth a zuz at the time that I stole it, it was worth four at the time that it breaks. So if it broke by itself, I only pay one. But if I drank it or broke the barrel, actively I destroyed it, I pay four. My time, what's the reason? In other words, what's the reason that where I actively destroyed it, you have to pay what it's worth when you destroyed it? Because kiven de isa, imagine that the wine was still intact, and I'd be able to return it intact to the owner. Hajamar Vena would have returned as is, and therefore the owner would have gotten back something with value of worth four. So he shies a goshasile. Now that I go to drink the wine of Kotava or break the barrel, Kazamine, now I'm stealing the value of four from the owner. It's non. You have to pay according to the time of theft. So what we're basically saying is, it's like there's a new time of theft right now. Yes, I stole it then, and it was only worth as was. But right now, it's still intact, and it could have been returned to the owner. So when I go now and I break it, or when I go now and I drink it, it's like I'm actively damaging, or maybe finishing my theft again on something that is worth more, and therefore I pay for its for the value that it has now. If it breaks by itself, you only pay a zuz. Why am I talking? Now I'm not doing anything. There's no chiv on me for the fact that it broke by itself. There's a chiv on me for the fact that I stole it earlier. What do you mean? Why you shy to gaza for the time he stole it? The time he stole it was only worth a zuz. So if it broke by itself, the whole mechayiv on me is for stealing. The time that I stole it was worth one zuz. Whereas if now I drink the wine, then the mechayiv on me could be for drinking the wine. So if it went up, then I'm going to have to pay the increased value of four. That's the basic din of Tavio Shasa. So the Gemara says, what happened? Mamish, a little bit to what's going on in our Mishnah. A person with Shalech Yad, which is like stealing, and then the price changes, and then he drinks it. So imagine I'm watching someone's barrel of wine. I pick up the barrel with intent to take it, and then by the time I get around to drinking it, it's worth more. What would the halacha be? According to what Rabbah said, you would expect, what should the law be? You should have to pay the higher value. That should mamish be what should come out from Tavio Shasa. So now, let's get back to our Mishnah. Tanan, Basila said, Kishasa Otsa. You always pay but the value of the deposit at the time of its removal. My b'shas otzah. What do we mean the time of its removal? B'shas otzah min olam. If you mean from the time that it was removed from the world, in other words, you pay the value what when he destroyed it. Uvamai. But which of the what happened? Ibachaser. If it went down, how could that be? Let's say it was worth four when I laid my hand on it. Then it went down, and it's only worth one at the time that I drink it. Would anyone say Mikol Amanda Amar? Would anyone in the world say that I pay only one for if the value that it decreased after I already stole it, I could get away with paying that? Certainly, I should have to pay for what it was worth when I stole it. If I stole it, it was worth four when I laid my hands on it, and at the time I drink it, it's only worth one. Of course, I'm liable for four. At that time, it was locked in the chiv geneva. So that certainly wouldn't make sense. But it still cannot be referring to a case where the deposit decreased in the value, ibi yasser. And if you tell me it's where it increased in value, and we're saying you stole it and it was worth one, but when you drink it, it was worth four, and then I have to pay what it was worth when he destroyed it, you have to worth pay four, hainu beishamai. Then that's identical. What's beishamai? What did beishamai say? When you lay your hands on it, and then subsequently you drink it, you always pay the higher value. If the higher value is when you stole, you pay that value. If the higher value is when you drink it, then you pay that value. So then Beisilah and Beishamai are saying the exact same thing. So what does Beisilah mean when he says you pay like the time it was removed? Top of the Amud Beis. El Pshita, what does he mean the time that it was removed? Kishas Hotsam mi Beis HaBailim. He doesn't mean when I drink the wine, but he means when I take it out of the owner's possession, when I lay my hands on it. So what does that mean? Beisilah is saying you pay in accordance to the value that it had at the time you laid your hands on it. And Matt's disagreeing with Beishamai. Beishamai was saying if the price goes up subsequently and then you drink it, you pay the higher value what it's worth when you drink it. Beisilah is saying no, you always pay whatever it was worth at the time that you laid your hands on it. So what does that mean? That means that Rava, the big din of Rava, is only like Beishamai. Again, the issue is, I steal something when it's intact now, it's still intact, it goes up in value, and then I destroy it, then I drink it. What is the law? Do I pay the higher value that it has now, or do I say, no, I only pay the value that it was worth when I originally stole it? Sounds like that's what Beishamai is still arguing about. Beisilah is saying you only pay leniently, only according to the value you have when you stole it. Beishamai is saying, no, you have to pay the higher value, what it's worth now when you drink it. So Rava's din, where I steal the barrel, and then it goes up, and I drink the wine, I have to pay the higher value it's worth now. It's only like Beishamai. We can't do that. Rava doesn't want his statement only to be like Beishamai. Remember, Beisilah is always the halacha. So I'm like, Rava, no. Be'ezer, if it went up in value, Kuliam Loplika, everyone agrees you paid its worth when you destroy it. Ki Plika, what do they argue? Bechaser, if it decreased in value. Meaning, I laid my hands on it, it was worth four. Then when I drink it, it's worth one. That you're already considered a gazan from the time you laid your hands on it. The parish of Shlichas Yad is not dependent upon you causing a loss to it. As soon as you laid your hands on it, even if there was no loss, you became a thief at that moment, and therefore you're liable to pay the higher value. And if it goes down, it goes down in his parishos, meaning to say it's his loss, but he's already locked in as a gana from the time that he laid his hands on it. So no, you're not a ganav yet when you lay your hands on it. We had this issue back on Daf Mamalev. Just laying your hands on it may not be an act of theft unless you cause a loss to it. So when the shomer just laid his hands on it with intent to take some of it, he doesn't have a din of a ganav yet because tzricha chisaron. So if it doesn't have a din of a ganav chichaser, when it goes down, b'shus l'mar chasar, it goes down in the owner's possession. So therefore, he's only becoming a ganav when he goes to drink it. So what we're coming out is that it's different. If you have a case of a regular theft, okay, of course you're a ganav. Then if it would go up, then of course, what would we say? We would say that at that point, If you drink it, you're chayiv the higher amount, like Rava said. The case in our Mishnah, what they're arguing about is a case where it goes down after you laid your hands on it, and they're arguing whether when you laid your hands on it originally it had a din of a ganav, and the issue being the shlichas yad is not, remember, it's not a regular theft. It's by you as a shomer, and you're laying your hands on it with intent to take some of it. The shaila is, does it give you a din of a ganav right away, or only if you cause it a loss? So that's what Bisham Yisrael would be arguing about. But the problem was with that is Elah Amar Rava shlichasan shlichasan. We learned definitely Alf. Rava said shlichasan does not need a chisaran, meaning you're considered a ganav of it right away, even before you cause any loss on it. So that means Lema Rava come Bisham. And then Rava's only Beishamah, because according to Beis Hillel, we're saying Shilchasat Shilchasar, you're not a ganav yet. So we need to understand how the Machlokas Beishamah Beis Hillel doesn't run into Rava or run into Rava. So the Gemara tries a different explanation. Hakmatzkinan, what's the case? You weren't Shaleach Yad. You know what it was? You didn't take it with intent to go use it. You took it just to borrow it, just to use it temporarily. So it's a lot of it goes off. So you moved the barrel with intent that you were just going to stand on it as a ladder and fetch some pigeons. They're arguing about here, I'm not trying to lay my hands on it to take some for myself. I'm just trying to use it. And I'm borrowing it without permission. And the machlokas is, when you borrow something else from someone else without his permission, does that give you a din of a gazlan? When you borrow something without intent, you have a din of a ganav. What is a din of a ganav? That now you're liable for any accidents. So therefore, it enters into his possession as a stolen item. Even if it decreased, it's his own loss, meaning you have to pay what it's worth at the time that you borrowed it. And that will be the higher value. You'll be stuck paying that because Bisham holds borrowing without permission is tantamount to stealing. No, you're only like a borrower. You're not considered to be a thief, and therefore, if it goes down, it's going down in the possession of the original owner, and you only pay for the time that you drink it. When it decreased, it was decreased while it was still in the owner's possession. The shomer only has to pay what it's worth when he destroyed it. What's the problem with that? Remember, we add this also, that a shol shmidas is a gazan, Rava said. So that means, so again, we're getting stuck. We have all these different ideas. We have shol shmidas gazan hava, and we have Rava, that if you steal something and then it goes up, then you have to pay with a higher value when you drink it. So all those things, putting that all together, how are we going to steer clear of Beis HaMikdash all's dispute? And again, the issue is, our case is, you have a shomer who shaleach yad on the whatever he's watching. And then it seems that it goes up and then he destroys it. It seems that Beis HaMikdash are arguing what he pays. Beis HaMikdash is saying, you pay according to the higher value what it's worth now when you destroy it. And Beis HaMikdash is saying, you don't. It sounds like they're arguing exactly about the Tavi Shasa scenario. So the Gemara says, now a different idea. Until now, we've been assuming that Bisham HaYisrael were arguing about where the price, the value of the entity went up. So now the Gemara says, no, they're arguing about improvements in the stolen property. Certainly you stole it already, but now there are improvements that come. So you remember from the end of Baba Kama, what happens when you steal something and then new improvements come? There are changes that occur, that come onto the thing that you stole. So you might be that you're kone those things. You might be acquired. Remember, once you steal, you might have a kinyan if there are shinuyim, if there are changes that occur. And they might be arguing about, again, not fluctuations in market value, but physical changes in the deposit. Do those become owed to the ganav? Remember the lumps of the way it works. When you steal something, just to clarify, that's not even belong to you. But you certainly made some sort of kinyan that's taking it away from the owner. So you still have a chiyav hashav, you still have to return it. But if a new change then happens to the entity, you might become the owner over that new change. So that's what the issue here is going to be. Bishamay savi shavach zelin nivzahave, physical improvements in the stolen property do not go to the ganav. Bishamay says they go to the owner. So savi shavach zelin the gazanave, no, they go to the thief. Put down tonight like these time I'm arguing about. The Tanya says in a Braisa, you're going to remember this from Baba Kama. Goes also rachel, someone stole a female sheep. He shears the wolf, yolda, or gave birth. So now those are new things, right? He's got the shearings, he's got the baby. Misham also was according to Ramer, he has to return everything. The new shinuyim that comes still off to be returned, says Ramer. No, only the thing he stole, only the sheep goes back. But the fleece and the child are acquired by the thief. So that's what's going on here. Bishamay in the Mishnah says that the shomer gets the loss, whether the deposit increased or decreased. What that means is that he's going like Ramer, and the thief is liable to give over any physical improvements to the owners. When we say increase, we mean there were new things here, or decrease means that it had a lot of wool when it was stolen, and then it was, who was then caught by the thief, and we're saying he has to return that. An increase is a case for the animal that gave birth. Very interesting. You know, decrease and increase means it decreased because I caught the wool, I have to return that. Or increase because it has a baby, I have to return that as well. It's a little bit of a tricky decrease, increase. That's where Rashi learns Pshat. So in other words, we're not talking about the market value now. It means there are new things that are by me, new entities, new shinuyim that come about through the theft. And the machlokas is, do those have to go back? So Rishamai is saying that has to go back. But he's still saying, no, you return what the way it was when you were mitzia, meaning you return what you stole. The new shinuyim, you don't steal. That's what they're arguing about. That's got nothing to do with value going up. Of course, when you steal something and then the value goes up and then you destroy it, you're chayav, like Rabbah said, to pay the higher value. Dekanami, a real good reading in the Mishnah is mashma like this as well. You suffer the loss if it decreases or increases. According to when you removed it, so it said chaser v'yaser. It didn't say lishonos that it depreciated or appreciated. It gave lashon as mashma that something physically changed, not that the market value changed. Mamina, we see we are referring to physical changes that take place. So now we understand what's the maskana machogas b'sham v'sil. The maskana of the case is you stole it when you're shaleich yad. If physical changes now come to the item, are you acquiring those as a ganav? A ganav acquires your physical changes. We know, we say that the physical things that change also have to be paid back to the owner. That's the machlokas b'shamein b'zil. So now let's understand now the third opinion. Rabbi Akiva said, you pay with the value that it has at the time of the claim. So what does that mean? Rabbi Akiva, let's just give a good old introduction here. He's saying that a shomer who shaleach yad is not considered a thief, that he would be kona the shinuyim until he's found guilty in court. In other words, a regular ganav, as soon as you steal it, you're a ganav. You have the kinyan gneva, and then any shinuim that come, he would bat some side like basil, or would remain with the ganav. But he's saying that when a shomer is shaleach yad, right at that moment, just when he does the ma'aseh, it's still by the owner. It's not considered stolen away from the owner. It's only considered stolen away from the owner when the owner sues him. So any shinuim that happened after he sued in court, then he would keep. But any shinuim that happened prior to when he sued in court, go back to the shomer. And the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Mishmah, Lach Rabbi Akiva. Okay, what Lach is like Rabbi Akiva. We're going to see that Rabbi Akiva is really based upon Sukkim. So we'll see in a second. Modi Rabbi Akiva says the Gemara, but Makom Sheish Edim, if there are witnesses who saw the Shlichas Yad, then he pays. Then the shomer is going to pay the deposit, whatever it was worth when he was shaleach yad, and shinuim afterwards he'll keep. My time. What's the difference if they're edim or not? Because the whole idea of Rabbi Akiva comes from Da'amar Kra Lasher Hu Lo Yinenav Yamashmas. The Torah says he returns it. He should return it on the day of his guilt. So what does that mean? Basically, we're saying on the day of your guilt, on the day that you're found guilty, that's when like the chiyuv to pay comes. So if there were court, if the court finds you guilty, now we're going to say you have your kinyan and your shinuyim, you'll keep. But before that, it's still by the owner, any shinuim you wouldn't keep. But kivan tik edim, if there are witnesses to the theft, the guilt is beginning from then. Why? Because the establishment of the guilt is already in process, even though the court hasn't found him guilty. But you already have the catalyst for the guilt. You already have the witnesses who are going to find you liable. So then you should name it happen at that point, you would be chayv. I'm like Rabbi Atta Omer came, do you really say this? No, Rabbi, keep it the secret if there are witnesses. Unless you're found guilty, you know, then it's still by the owner. My time is Rakala, sure you can learn about Mashmas of the day of the guilt. It's only the court that finds you guilty. So disagreement whether or not Rabbi Akiva would agree if there were witnesses. I'm the Rav Zira, the Rabbi Abba Bar Papa, Kiazalasam. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, Akiva Suma the Tzor, go at a detour and go on the mountain of Tzor. But look, I've been to Rabbi Yiti, go visit Rabbi Akiva Yiti, who lived there by me, and ask him, Yishmiel, Rabbi Yochanan, Allah, Rabbi Akiva, and Allah, Rabbi Akiva. Ask Rabbi Yochanan if he heard whether or not we pass him like Rabbi Akiva in this dispute. I'm the Rabbi Yochanan, Allah, Rabbi Akiva, Olam. We pass him always like Rabbi Akiva. What does that mean? We pass him always like Rabbi Akiva. Just say we pass him like Rabbi Akiva. Milo Olam. What does that mean? Always. I'm Rabashi, Shalotam, my name is the Adam. Don't tell me we only pass him like Rabbi Akiva that the thief pays according to what is worth at the claim when there were no witnesses of the theft, but if there were no witnesses, then it doesn't apply. So we say no. La'aylam, we always pass on like Rabbi Akiva. Even if there are edim that it was stolen, we're still going to pass on like Rabbi Akiva, that it's only once he's found guilty in the court that the kinyan of the gneva sets in. And any shinuim that happened before, even if there are witnesses, would return to the owner. Inami, or what do we mean the halachas of Akiva always? For it's referring to a different thing. I mean, this is an issue that we learned a few days ago. What happens if after shaleach yad, you put it back? Does that now absolve you of being a thief? And now any accidents that occur, you're back in potter? Or do we say, no, you didn't return it just when I put it back in the spot? So Rabbi Akiva said that you have to inform the owner when you return it. If you didn't inform the owner, you didn't return it, and therefore you're still liable. That's what we mean. Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, always a hajo duch levitzbra. Even if you put it back in its place after you shalach got and then it broke, he's still liable to compensate the owner. Lafukman bishmal takes loot from bishmal, but living in das bailam, that you consider return as soon as you return it, even without telling the owner. So we exclude from him. We say that no, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, kamashmalan debina das bailam. Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, it's only considered return when you inform the owner, and even if you return it and ask him what happened, you would still be liable. So before we keep on saying halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, Rav Amar halacha kibes hil. Halacha is like base hilal, which means that you pay what it's worth when you remove it from the owner's possession. Any shinuyim that happen after that point are have a kinyan kineva on, and any shinuyim therefore that occur, you would keep it not return. So bottom line is, we have a three-way dispute. When you steal something, and through the form of shlichas yad, and then there are changes that occur subsequently. Bishamai says they all go back to the owner because he holds that all shinuyim are paid back to the owner. Basila says all shinuyim are kept by the thief, by the shomer which shleich yad. And Rabbi Akiva says the shinuyim that occur before you suit in court go back to the owner, and the shinuyim that occur after you be sued in court would be kept by the thief.